Thanksgiving. So what are you thankful for about this morning? Those of you online, I want to just take take a minute, and in that chat box, just type, what are you thankful for? And those of you who are here, just shout it out, and I'll speak it out so everybody can hear it. Just, what are you thankful for this morning? Very quickly. Oh, the life. Lights. Is that what you said? Life. Family. Freedom. So God, big amen for that. A safe place to live. For Jesus, amen. You go to the front of the class. Anything else? All right. Well, God bless you all this morning. You know, tomorrow we do celebrate Thanksgiving. Turkey and pie. Oh, my. Oh, my. Yeah. But this morning, I do want to talk to you about Thanksgiving, to remind ourselves that Thanksgiving is not simply something we celebrate once a year, you know, or when we turn 65 and get lots of presents, you know. Rather, Thanksgiving is an intentional way of living, even in 2020. Amen? Even in 2020. And that's the title for my talk this morning, Thanksgiving. An intentional way of living. And here's the big idea behind that. Thanksgiving is an intentional attitude of our heart and mind that postures or positions us in such a way that we are able to see and experience the goodness of God everywhere, becoming aware of His faithfulness in everything. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that because of Jesus, we do have freedom. Thank you that we can live life and live it to the fullest. Thank you that our circumstance does not control who we are. You control who we are. And your life in us. And you cause us to walk in abundance of life, even today, Father. And so we give you thanks. We thank you for the victory. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come right now as teacher. And Lord, even as we talk about a topic that's very, very familiar to us, I pray once again that you'd refresh. You'd refresh our thinking. We refresh our minds, Lord, to see the power of this amazing gift of Thanksgiving. And Father, we would walk out of this place after we've heard this word, Lord, we would be changed from glory to glory. And that life might just shine through us, giving you glory, Father. In Jesus' name, I ask it. So we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4, and I want to read to you verses 4 to 13. And here we read, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the peace of God, and the God of peace, rather, will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content. Whatever the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So powerful words, eh? Incredibly powerful. There's so much packed in there, and they become incredibly powerful and penetrating when we realize the circumstance that Paul is writing these words in. He's not writing from the sunroom of a Lakeview cottage, you know, with a sandy beach there and a nice dock and a fishing boat ready to go out fishing at a moment's notice. Not at all. He's writing from a prison cell. He's writing from a prison cell, waiting for his trial. And his future is absolutely uncertain. And he is basically powerless to do anything about it. He may even face execution, making what he writes here so incredibly powerful. And he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Don't be anxious about anything. In every situation, by prayer and thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And as I read this, you know, I don't know about you, but immediately my defense wants to rise up. Come on, rejoice always. Come on, Paul, really? Really? You know, I don't get you. You may be facing execution. Rejoice in the Lord always. If only you understood the pain and desperation of my situation. You certainly didn't live through 2020. You know, really. And immediately, I rejoice in the Lord always. And this thing wants to rise up in me. You know, of course I'm anxious. Who wouldn't be? It's only natural. Of course I'm worried. I have no clue as to how to get through the next few months. I was talking to people who've lost their job and the jobs in their current situation, their income streams cut off. How can you not be worried as you face that? Of course I'm worried. I have no clue as to how to get through the next few months, let alone what will my future look like. Who wouldn't be anxious? You know, welcome to 2020. One of the most frequent issues I hear talked about is the anxiety people are facing because of the uncertainty of today. That's not a small thing. And as we read this passage this morning, it's important to understand that Paul is not belittling our situation at all. He's not belittling or making light of any of our situations. Paul was very aware of what the people who received his letters were facing, what they were experiencing. He was aware of their persecution, the challenges they faced because of persecution. He was aware of their economic state. He was aware of what the people were facing. We also need to remember, here he is, he's writing from prison. There is weight behind his words. Amen? There's weight behind his words. And he writes, rejoice in the Lord. By prayer, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Paul understood. He understood that peace and contentment could never come from whatever circumstance, good or bad, you find yourself in. He writes, rejoice in the Lord. And he went on to say, I've learned the secret of being content. In other words, the word content is to be at peace, to be satisfied. He says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. That's powerful. In any and every situation. I've learned how to be at peace and be satisfied. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always? And I hear him saying back to me, yes. Always. Why? Because the Lord is near. That's what he says. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, because the Lord is near. The Lord is near. The one who eclipses circumstance is near. Even in prison, Paul knew the Lord was with him, and his presence changes everything. See, whatever circumstance we face, the Lord is near. You know what? We are never alone. We are never alone in our circumstances. Never. We are never left without his strength. We are never left without his love. We are never left without or deprived of his love. We are never left without his power. We are never left without his peace. We are never left without his hope, because the Lord is here. And in his presence, he meets every single need. We are never left alone. Amen. His strength, his power, his peace, his love is with us. His hope is always with us. Amen. You know, some time ago, and I may have shared this story with you, I'm not sure, but it's such a powerful illustration of this truth, so I'm going to share it this morning. I was called to be with a family whose child had committed suicide. And needless to say, it was a very, very difficult and difficult doesn't even describe it. It was very difficult and painful. And this child, in a moment of overwhelming despair, seeing no way out, plagued with this private and unbearable emotional pain due to mental health difficulties, saw death as the only way out. And in that moment, the temptation became too great. In fact, this person, through the lens of their unbearable despair, saw it as a way to begin their eternal life with Christ. I'm not going to give judgment on that tonight or this morning, but that's where they were. And they were this person was in this place of unbearable pain, and in desperation, in that moment of desperation, saw death as the only means out, and saw it as a way to begin their eternal life with Jesus Christ. I'll never forget this, because I sat with the parents in a silence-filled room. And the last thing I wanted to say, the last thing I wanted to suggest, the farthest thing from my mind was to give thanks, was to do what Paul says here, to give thanks and rejoice in all circumstances. Furthest thing from my mind. Seemed far too difficult. It was the first thing from my mind to suggest to these parents that we should do this. It seemed far too difficult. The silence was deafening. The pain was overwhelming. The confusion just seemed far too difficult. But before we dismiss Paul's advice, remember what he said. I have learned the secret of being content in any, in every circumstance or situation. In any and every situation. You know, this wasn't simply some great motivational speech from Paul. He knew what he was talking about. In Acts chapter 16, Paul recounts his missionary journey to Macedonia with Silas. And here they are sharing the good news about Jesus, and a young girl gets free, and she's set free from demon possession. That should be, everybody should be happy, right? And what did they get for their good deeds? They were stripped, flogged, beaten, and thrown into jail. And the jailer was told to guard them carefully, so he put them deep in an inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. So here they are, they're beaten, they're bruised, they're bloody, they're bound in chain, and they're deep in this dungeon. And you can imagine what it must have been like, you know, no windows, no lights, damp, surrounded by thick, oppressive darkness. And in that hopeless place, do you know what they begin to do? In this dark, hopeless place, beaten and bloodied, do you know what they begin to do? They begin to pray with thanksgiving. They begin to rejoice and they begin to worship God. Not for their circumstance, but for who He is in their circumstance. And that's a big difference. They didn't praise Him for their circumstance, but they began to give thanks for who He is and who He is in their circumstance. Rejoice in the Lord. You know, and I wondered, what might they have been singing? Then it came to me. And I think perhaps they might have recalled and began to sing parts of Psalm 103 or 107. There it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds towards men. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." And then in my imagination, I think they got to verses 14 to 16, and their voices begin to crescendo, you know, and He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom, and He broke away their chains. And as one version says, He burst their bonds apart. And as they're worshiping, praising God, something amazing begins to happen. The prison walls begin to reverberate as they sing, giving thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds towards men. For He is good. His love endures forever. And in that horrific place, in the midst of them giving, rejoicing with thanksgiving to the Lord, something amazing took place. All of the goodness of God, His glory, flooded into that place, so much so that the earth shook, or the earth quaked, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, their chains fell off, and the doors burst open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if they knew that song, but my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love. Amazing grace. I want to tell you, there is no place. There is no place where God cannot find you and set you free. Whether you're in a deep, deep, dark, hidden away jail cell, God knows where you are. There's no place so dark, so hidden away, so desperate that God's power is unable to break through. Amen? Let me take you back to my story. As we sat together in the overbearing pain and silence, I watched something. This is what I'll never forget. I watched something amazing begin to take place. I was so humbled by it, and I learned something that day. Reeling from what had just happened, and I did not initiate this, reeling from what just happened, slowly, prayer with thanksgiving began to ascend to the throne room of God in that place. I heard words, "Thank you, Jesus, that our child is with you because she loved you. Thank you, Jesus, that our child is alive with you. Thank you, Jesus, for you are good. You are faithful." They didn't thank God for the circumstances. They began to thank God in spite of the circumstances. And they did what Paul instructed, and they began to give Him thanks for who He is. And I'll tell you, the presence of God, the peace of God filled that room in exactly the way we needed it. I'll never forget it as long as I live. There is no place so dark. There is no place so far, so hidden away, so desperate that God's power is unable to break through. See, giving thanks, Giving thanks to the Lord is an expression of faith in the unfailing goodness of God. Amen? Giving thanks to the Lord is an expression of faith in the unfailing goodness of God, releasing a fragrance that permeates the atmosphere, changing it from one of desperation to one of hope. When we purposely give thanks to God for his faithfulness, eyes that have been blinded by pain begin to open to see him once again, and faith begins to rise. Giving thanks to the Lord is like, it's like pouring gasoline on a dying fire, and it refocuses on Jesus, and it causes the embers of our faith to once again burst into flame. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Paul continues. He says, and the peace of God, which transcends, which goes beyond all understanding, he says, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now, it's not the kind of peace that you and I can work up. It's not like the, you know, the sort of settled resolve that sometimes we try to work. It's not that kind of peace at all. In fact, you and I cannot generate this peace because it's not from within, so to speak. It is from within, but it's not from my emotions. It's not from my psyche. It's from him. Amen? It's not the kind of resolve I can work up. It is a peace whose source comes from the very presence of God. He is near. And that peace envelops and it penetrates. The idea is that this peace will stand guard. It stands guard over your mind. So it's almost like a security team watching out for every wrong thought and idea that wants to come and assault you and render you powerless. When we intentionally give thanks to God for who he is, according to his word, it confronts and tears down my wrong thoughts about him. And it tears down or renders powerless my fear and my anxiety, because I'm now focused on something much greater. Amen? When we intentionally give thanks to God for who he is according to his word, it confronts and tears down my wrong thoughts about him, my fears, and my anxiety. Paul lived a life of thanksgiving to God. Not for, but in every circumstance. The expression of gratitude that flows from faith enabled him to tap into the everlasting grace of God. It enabled him to see life even in the face of death, to see hope in the face of despair, and exercise faith in the face of doubt. Amen? He states, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. In other words, content, to be satisfied or at peace, to have a strength that is unfailing and free from being overcome by worry, but rather being full of hope. He says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, because I can do all things through him. Through him who strengthens me. I can face whatever I need to face because of him who strengthens me. I can go through whatever it is I need to go through because of him who strengthens me. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. I have learned the secret of being content in any in every circumstance. What is it? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring a charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was risen to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? What? Shout it out. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Amen. Nothing. Oh, I'm sorry, Logan. Giving thanks is an intentional attitude of our heart and mind that postures us in such a way that we are able to see and experience the goodness of God everywhere, becoming aware of his faithfulness in everything. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the wisdom that you give us through Paul's words here. To learn the secret of being content in any and every situation. Giving thanks to you for who you are. Thank you, Father, that you never leave us or forsake us. Thank you that you are near no matter what we face. You are with us. And because of that, we have hope. Because of that, we have life. Because of that, we have peace. Thank you, Father. And I pray that, Lord, we wouldn't take this idea of Thanksgiving. Lord, let's help us not to just one day a year, oh, today's Thanksgiving. But, Father, let us be living an intentional lifestyle of thanksgiving to you. Wonder, you know, if you're facing challenges, if you're facing difficulty this morning, I want to tell you the Lord is near. But I want to pray. And if you're facing difficulty, I want you to do something for me with me this morning. I want you to posture yourself in such a way where you're looking up to Jesus. Maybe that means if you're facing a challenge and you just want to lift up your hands to open up your heart to him, you do that. Whether you're watching online or whether you're here in the sanctuary, I just posture yourself to open up yourself to the Lord and receive as I pray. Father, I pray right now. I pray right now for those who are facing challenging circumstances. You know, all over this room and online, you know what people are facing. You know the challenges people are facing in 2020, Lord. You know the uncertainty, but you are unshakable. Your kingdom does not fail. And Father, so we look up to you this morning and we thank you for who you are. We thank you for who you've made us to be. We thank you that you are near to us, that you are with us and you will walk through every circumstance with us. And so, Father, I declare your peace. Father, right now, let the power of your Holy Spirit, just fall right now on each one whose heart is open to you. Just fall on each one, bringing strength, bringing peace, just like what happened in that room. Holy Spirit, just fall right now and encourage, surround, release your strength, release your hope, release your life into every one of these circumstances in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, that you would meet every need according to your riches in glory. Bless your people, Father, and I thank you for what you're doing, and I thank you that you are near. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Well, God is good. The Lord bless you and keep you. And he causes his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the rest of your day. That concludes our service for this morning. God bless.